Hey everyone, this is James Mackey and welcome to the Breakthrough Hiring Show. Join us as we cover high-level thought leadership and step-by-step guides on how to make people a competitive advantage for your organization. I'm incredibly proud to be the CEO of Secure Vision, the sponsor of this show and the number one contract recruiting, embedded recruiting, and RPO firm. A thank you to our partners, Greenhouse, the hiring operating system for people-first companies, and GEM, the all-in-one hiring solution recruiters love. Let's go! Hello and welcome to Talent Acquisition Trends and Strategy. I'm your host, James Mackey, and today we are joined by Jared Long. Jared, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, James.
For sure. And so, I'm very excited to speak with you about recruitment operations today. But I wanted, you know, before we jump into that topic and what we want to talk about, I was hoping you could share with us a little bit about your background and experience, just so everybody tuning in knows a little bit about the perspective you're coming from.
Yeah, happy to do that. So I started actually at Apple in operations, not recruiting operations, but that's how I kind of made the pivot into the space. And I actually got a lucky break and had a really good manager over at Netflix who took a bet on me, who knew that that operations background could convert into candidate experience, which was really the starting point of recruiting operations for most companies. Jumped to Netflix as their candidate experience manager operating in LA. Eventually, within a year, took over candidate experience for LA, LATAM, EMEA, APAC. Got a bunch of world perspective relative to systems experience and technology in the recruiting space. Did a stint in EMEA, building out operations, recruiting operations for Netflix over there. Came back to the US at the start of COVID, pivoted into being like a business analyst and built my own technology for them. And now I'm in beautiful Pittsburgh doing the same thing for Duolingo all over again. So realized I like the build phase, became too specialized, found a great talent acquisition team over here and starting from scratch and hopefully do the same thing.
Yeah, that's great. And just so everybody tuning in, you were at Netflix for over 5 years. So this isn't like something that you dabbled in. This is something that you really mastered for Netflix.
Yes. 5 years and four positions, which is very rare in Netflix. Usually you go there and you stay in the same thing, but I kept jumping around to different spots.
That's the way to do it, man. That's how you keep learning.
Yep.
Well, cool. So I noticed that. So when you were in EMEA, that was Amsterdam, right?
Yeah. My favorite city in the world. If I could live in Amsterdam, if I wasn't born and raised in California, I would live in Amsterdam in a heartbeat, just too far of a flight.
Yeah. I'm going for the first time in October.
Oh, it's amazing. Are you just staying in Amsterdam? Or are you actually going to jump around the country and all
of
Europe?
So I got like a CEO peer group thing in Dublin. So I'm going to Dublin for the first time and I'm really pumped about that. And I'm trying to head down to like Southwest Ireland for a little bit as well. Just kind of travel around a bit and see some different regions. But because my ultimate, like several generations ago, my family's from there. So I want to go there too. But then after that, I'm going to go straight from the CEO event to Amsterdam because there's a big EDM concert. I think it's AMF, is that right? Yeah.
Pretty much EDM owns Amsterdam. So if you're in EDM, you're gonna have a good time.
Dude, I'm pumped. Tiesto's gonna be there. We're gonna go. A couple friends are flying out and we're gonna go to an overnight EDM concert and see Tiesto. And we're probably gonna hit up Berlin and then Nice. So but Amsterdam, I'm thrilled. I can't wait to go.
Yeah, it was open-ended and it was the toughest decision I think I've ever had to make professionally to say, oh, I got to go back to the States. It landed me here, but loved it. Also Dublin, not related to recruiting, but my favorite concert ever was Lana Del Rey at a castle right outside of Dublin. That's an incredible place too. You're going to enjoy that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm really pumped. Well, anyways, so off kind of on a tangent there, but yeah, I wanted to just jumping into kind of talent acquisition operations. I guess, can we just start high level about, you know, how it's been evolving over the past few years? Like, obviously, it seems to be taking a bigger hold in at least technology companies that are a little bit more forward thinking when it comes to tech and data. However, one of the things that I've noticed over the past several years and that I've, you know, I would have liked to see more of is that there's just simply not enough TA operations around. Like every company, it seems, is investing in sales ops, revenue ops. They understand the importance of it. They understand like just how big of an impact it has on the organization. And, you know, most leaders will agree, or at least when you call it out, that, you know, people are the primary driver of value. And yet, right, like we're running TA on a shoestring budget, considering it a cost center versus a value add that actually can generate revenue and increase valuations in the long run. So yeah, just your thoughts on, you know, where it started past several years and kind of where it's headed and what you're seeing right now.
Yeah. I think it's really, really interesting because when I started, recruiting operations wasn't really a thing. Recruiting operations was really just considered talent coordination or recruiting coordination. And so usually RCs would roll into the recruiting managers and they would be very cyclical and almost looked at as a feeder into becoming recruiters, which nowadays a lot of people that are in the recruiting operations or recruiting coordination work don't want to go into recruiting. The reason they're going into coordination is they like the operations side. And so when I joined and did this work, there, like you said, only big tech companies were really looking for this. And I would say around 2020, there's been a major shift, especially with diversity and inclusion becoming a prominent piece of the recruiting approach, that recruiting operations was a needed branch in the recruiting space. And I say that because the only way to truly impact those visions and make your teams efficient is to use technology. And when you use technology, you can use it in the proper or improper way. And if you give people technology, as you probably know, and you don't educate them on how to use it, and then you give them a strategy and don't educate them on how to execute on that strategy, you get yourself into situations where you're spending a lot of money to try to do something, you're not really solving the problem, and then you end up, you know, end backtracking and trying to do something else. So now when you go onto LinkedIn and you search for recruiting operations, almost every company, especially in the tech world, is hiring that. And that's because it expanded from just being recruiting coordinators to doing that, developing processes, doing documentation, impacting DEIB, also like CRMs, which used to only be on the sales side, are becoming a really big thing in the recruiting world because continuous nurturing of top talent, especially passive talent in the engineering space, is so vital to not only find, but also retain that talent.
Yeah, for sure. I think the whole concept of community within talent acquisition as well is huge, right? Like just to double down what you're saying with passive talent, right? And continuous outreach. Like I always, you know, and I know some big companies are doing this and likely smaller companies may not have the budget or enough people to really do this. But I really love the idea of like just consistently throwing events and adding value to people in specific functions. So whatever positions are scale positions, so engineers, salespeople, whatever it might be, to host regular events, reaching out to passive talent, just constantly engaging with them. So whenever you open a new role, you know, you have that kind of warm introduction versus going in cold. So yeah, I'm seeing that trend too with the CRM, and that's actually, or just more CRM functionality, which is one thing that I don't feel like a lot of ATS systems really do quite well yet. Do you all, is it part of your ATS or do you have like a separate system that integrates? Like how are you currently doing that?
Yeah, I'm not affiliated, but I'll just drop some tools here give some people some shout outs. So there is a lot of CRM functionality in the market. That's actually probably my biggest break in the recruiting operations space is for a company that I worked for prior. I built a custom CRM for them because they had millions of candidates in their database. So it was a 2-year project. And the problem statement that we were solving was we have so many candidates in our database. It was too difficult to refine those candidates. And we needed a way to be able to aggregate them and then search against them very quickly. And we were able to do that by parsing together or piecing together different technologies. But most companies don't have the resources to do that. So companies like Jim or People AI or even Greenhouse is now trying to add a CRM on top are realizing that an applicant tracking system, the sole purpose of that is really the start of the recruiting journey to the end of the recruiting journey tied to a job. Whereas recruiting is a continuous process. And mm-hmm. So they need a way to bucket people based off of either location, skill set, title, experience, and a way to keep them engaged so that when you reach out, it's a numbers game, especially in like a very competitive market, it's a numbers game. So how are you building these data sets that you can get engaged with very quickly so your team doesn't have to be massive to hit your hiring goals? You can essentially 10x your team by leveraging this technology, like drip campaigning, like similar skill set searching, that allows you to do the same work that you need to do without having the heads that you thought you needed to have to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So you said Greenhouse is building in a CRM layer, because that's actually like the one critical thing I had to say about Greenhouse is just searchability of candidates and ability to engage with passive candidates is currently lacking. They are the ATS I recommend. And we actually, yeah, we have it internally. And just from a data and reporting perspective, I think the data is the cleanest. The customization for custom stages to track pipeline reports, time and stage, you know, loss reasons, all that kind of stuff. Like a lot of the, I like a lot of the data functionality. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to manage for that perspective, but or at least for startups and growth stage companies. But I feel like as you kind of push into larger organizations that are looking for more of that CRM functionality, that are hiring like hundreds of engineers a year or something like that, that's where it starts to break down a bit. So yeah. I, you know, curious to, is this part of their push into enterprise? Like they want larger customers, or I'm wondering like how far along they're in doing this and why they're doing it. I mean, it seems obvious like for us, but curious if you have any more insight there.
I've probably demoed and leveraged or used every applicant tracking system on the market. And I do believe that there's buckets of applicant tracking systems. So how deep do you want me to go with technology? Because I can give
Let's
you
a little go, man. Like I want to hear it. Cause like, I don't want to talk about the great resignation anymore. I want to get technical.
Yeah. Me either. I don't want to talk about it either. So in this world, what we're really looking at is CRM. I think there's a misconception with CRM. CRM is not only for large scale companies. CRM is actually probably more valuable for small scale companies. And when you're talking about, if your company doesn't have the money to invest in technology, there are a lot of resources and tools out there that can allow you to make a lightweight CRM or ATS. So if you're a small company, I think like things, and I don't know if it's still around, but like Google Hire was really good. LinkedIn has a really lightweight ATS that you can use in their system. I am the biggest fan of Airtable if they ever go public. I'm on that. Airtable is a great tool, but they have a pre-built template on making an ATS in there. And you can leverage that from a CRM standpoint using their automation technology as well. And then you get to this mid-size level, and really the three prominent players there are Greenhouse, Lever, which I just heard and I can't validate, but I think Lever just got purchased. And they both kind of do the same thing. And I think Greenhouse is better structurally. And then you have Smart Recruiters, which is a very interesting player. And they've invested a lot in trying to build in automation and technology and AI influence into their concepts. They're a really interesting company to look at as well. And then truthfully, large enterprise customers, we're only really sitting on, for the most part, custom-built solutions. Like if you're at Meta and you have 100 engineers that could work on your tool, they're going to do that, right? But really, it was Avature or iCIMS. Avature started as the first recruiting CRM and built an applicant tracking system after. Pretty clean UI, not very customizable. I like them for the CRM piece, didn't like them for the ATS piece. iCIMS, sorry, iCIMS, if you listen to this, terrible UI, but really good customization. So a lot of companies would build custom skins on top of iCIMS because mm-hmm. you can customize it for the needs that you want. And now Salesforce and Workday have made their way into the large players as well. Workday utilizing sub tools to make up for the what they lacked prior, making them a lot of companies switching to them, which is like a curveball. No one was using Workday for a long time.
Workday is like a HRIS as well, right? Like, are they doing like the HR side? So it's like a full... They're trying to do end-to-end?
Yeah, they're doing end-to-end, but they're doing it the smart way. So like Greenhouse is trying to build all the functionality in-house, which is difficult because then they have to maintain it. What Workday has done is built the core system that allows you to have a smooth transition from pre-employee to post-employee, and then leverage technology. I'm blanking on it, but it's a good thing to look up. They have a recruiting CRM that I looked at, and then that's their preferred partner. And then they use Prelude or Good Times for their scheduling component, which they never had. That's the technology that not enough people invest in. If you want to save money on recruiting, invest in scheduling technology because it is the biggest time suck because it's so manual.
Yeah for sure. And we talk about Salesforce. There used to be a company called Talent Rover. Do you remember them? They built the stack like on top of Salesforce. So it was basically like a Salesforce ATS, and then Bullhorn bought it. And I got so upset because I just knew it was going to just go down the drain.
I didn't talk about like Bullhorn or Brass Rings. I look at those as like agency ATSs. So right. I don't have much experience in that space, but
yeah. Well, I was just thinking of the Salesforce background, that backbone they had. Talent Rover was a lot of people liked that for a minute. Probably more so on the agency side. You're right. But you know what's funny is like we actually use Greenhouse as our agency ATS.
That is interesting. I mean, they have an agency portal, so I guess you could do that, but
we don't do that, man. Like, we just set it up like with a couple custom fields so that we could have different clients within the system. And okay. We're running like all of our clients through Greenhouse to track like performance of our accounts.
So it sounds like you need me to come over there and look at your systems. That's what it
sounds
man. Like.
If you want to help us optimize it too, I'm trying to, they recently updated the interface, which I still haven't played around in. So like every time I go into the system, I'm like, what am I looking at?
It was sneaky. They updated and didn't tell anyone. And it threw me off too. I wasn't able to like inform my team on it. So, and recruiters do not like change. So that is.
No, I don't. Cause I mastered the other one. And like when I was hands-on doing stuff, I was on the old interface. Now I'm not hands-on anymore. And so it's like, I just custom field. Is that it? I wonder how we did it.
That legitimately, I believe, is the other reason why recruiting operations has come to prominence, is because so much technology has been released in the last several years that are optimizing for efficiency. Recruiters like simplicity. And so when you have a CSM telling you this technology is great, it's going to give you 10x on your return, and then they try to teach you about it, you zone out. When you have someone teaching you that doesn't know your workflow, you zone out. So recruiting operations has become that like stopgap for technology, because every time I implement a new technology, they say, let's do office hours, let's do a training kickoff, and never, the response is never good. But if I have that session and then bring it to the team, adoption goes up. So it's almost like an in-house CSM is another component of the recruiting ops that's become very valuable as technology has taken over.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have for our customers. So basically, just so you know what we do, we're an RPO company, which is, for those listening, it's a fancy way of saying companies borrow recruiters from us. And so we do that for a lot of tech companies. And we actually have process documents built out for like literally every single part of the talent acquisition process, everything from sourcing, outreach, talent attraction, you know, employer branding, whatever it might be, all the way to interview workflows, to custom interview questions, to DE&I programs, referral programs, like whatever it might be, we have playbooks for that. And a lot of the times, like it's how do we take that process, right, and bake it into technology to make it as simple as possible to just like have these workflows set up in a way that's just not too complicated. And then obviously there's that training component, right, where you ideally are walking the team through how it's done. And you know, I think Greenhouse does a decent job of putting together a fair amount of videos and stuff, but not necessarily for custom workflows. So that's something that we try to record our own videos for.
Is that what you're using?
Yeah, something like that. Just Zoom, and we have some video links and stuff like that.
Nice. So. Yeah, I do. I do believe that short form education, especially in the form of video, is the future for training people. Mm-hmm. So like there's this company, what I was saying is a company, Loom, that's really good at doing like humanizing the training element, because they put your picture in the corner. So you're like, it's not just someone recording their screen talking. Mm-hmm. And I had this hypothesis at Netflix that if we did every training in the form of a document and then a video no longer than 90 seconds, we could go from all the self-serve questions that we were dealing with, which meant we needed people actually reviewing a channel, to only dealing with high, like complex problems, like in a 6-month period. I don't think we got to the level that we wanted to, but I'd say we reduced the amount of questions that we were getting by like 50% in a quarter by just doing these short form videos, because people don't want to ask questions. They want to know, like, they know what they're talking about.
Just can I get the answer quickly without, like, don't make me search for it. Make it obvious where it is. No, I don't want to fucking email anybody. Like, just give me the answer, you know? So I think I mean, if you don't make it super easy for them to find too, then like, they're not going to like search through a bunch of videos to find what they need. So
yeah, that's I hate it. I hate it. I don't know if you ever use Greenhouse support, but you have to search and it gives you a bot and it's never the right article. Then you got to click 2 times to get to a chat. I know they know that I'm going to the chat 90% of the time. Just give me the chat straight up. That's all I want.
No, yeah. That's okay. Particularly on the SMB side of the house. Yeah. It's not great in terms of like, you know, your ability to get in there. So what I did is I took on an internal role a few years ago, building out Greenhouse for a company. And I was working with this guy, Cole Reavers, who's customer success over at Greenhouse. And he did a really great job for us. And he actually went above and beyond Greenhouse's typical process. So I gave him a shout out to their CEO and founders. So now I just use that as a reason, dude, I'm going to reach out to you anytime I have a question, because I would help you out and make you give you recommendations. And then hopefully in return, he continues. So he's played ball with us most of the time. And I try to give him shout outs, and in return, he tries to help. So, but yeah, the typical process just isn't that's the one thing too. It's there just isn't a lot of fast kind of customer success, particularly for the SMB accounts.
I think there's a lot of areas in recruiting that have been done a certain way. I truly believe this. I think recruiting has been done a certain way for so long with certain people that they don't want to change. They know it's not efficient, but they're good at what they do, so they're able to get their job done. And I do think that the evolution of certain things like self-service relative to recruiting technology has lagged behind other things artificial suggestion of an individual based off of skill set parsed from their resume, because the need for that has out and the need for to be able to implement that into a recruiter that's done their work a certain way for so long greatly outweighs this other piece. And so what people generally do is, if it doesn't work, whatever, I'll just move on to something else. I can go back to what I've always done. And so again, that's another area where my world really comes in, where we end up dealing with a lot of these tier zero requests that are repetitive because they don't want to go to the technology company to ask that question. They rather have me answer it for them in the moment, and our companies pay someone like me to answer it for them in the moment, which might not be the best use of time, but it does solve a problem or stop a gap.
Right. For sure. So I do have another question for you. I wanted to ask, at Duolingo, what is the current recruiting tech stack? So that one, and then two, do you consider it ideal, or if you had unlimited budget, what would you do to enhance it beyond where it is? So just it's two questions at once. Sorry.
No, it's all good. So Duolingo actually probably from a tech stack standpoint, we've over-indexed on technology, leveraging technology to solve single problems rather than multiple problems. So I've been here for 6 months. The way that I describe it is, we've got a beautiful lot of land. It's unmanicured. We've got all the tools we need, all the resources we need. And right now we're figuring out how to build the blueprint. And so I think we do have the right tech stack to solve majority of the problems that we're trying to solve. It's really about creating the connectivity and then consolidating, what do we want to use Gem for? What do we want to use Greenhouse for? What do we want to use agency recruiters for? And figuring out that proper blend is really what I'm solving right now, rather than I don't have the budget or the resources to get the technology I need to solve the problem that we have.
Gotcha. So it's in terms of tools, you're Greenhouse is the primary one. Gem sounds like it's part of the stack. Are you using any kind of other job boards to data tools to anything like that?
Yeah. If we're going to go the whole one. Okay. So we got Greenhouse, Gem, Seekout, Ashby, Carrot, HackerRank, Handshake, LinkedIn, probably Built-In, we just signed a partnership with, 10 different other job boards that we're doing stuff with, few agencies that we're working with. You name it, we're probably leveraging it in some capacity.
Gotcha. Hey, quick question about Gem. Where does it work? Where doesn't it work?
Oh man. I love the people at Gem. I use Gem at Netflix too, but I would say the only way to use Gem effectively is to have Gem, depending on where you start your process. So for us, in some instances, we start in Seekout, because Seekout allows you, really cool piece that most people don't know about Seekout, but Seekout allows you to look at addressable market based off of what your search criteria is. No other tool that I know of does that. So if you want, you can start in Seekout, pull people into a project in Gem, leverage Gem to do your reach out campaigns, or group people based off of whatever it is you want to group them by, and then push your interested people into your applicant tracking system to start their journey against your jobs. And why that's important is that's going to reduce your time to hire, probably, but also it's going to give you the complete flow leveraging the best part of each technology to solve that part of the funnel. And then the last piece with Gem is their reporting is really easy. Their dashboarding,
yeah,
I think personally is better than Greenhouse's. I use Ashby's dashboarding for most, but they do have really good reporting. And their CSM, Yuki, amazing. Yuki, if you're listening to this, you're really good.
So you have Seekout and Gem integrated. So basically you're finding the people in Seekout and then you're pushing them into Gem.
Yeah. And you could,
I thought they were like somewhat competitive, but I guess not, right?
They are. I do think that Gem is a better CRM than Seekout. I think Seekout is a better search technology. So Gem, I would say, really good for like campaign analytics. Really, they're one of the few technologies that allow you to do sequences that are both LinkedIn messaging and emails, which is really interesting how they do that. Mm-hmm. So I would say Seekout is the best external search tool outside of, I'm blanking on it right now, but there's another search tool that everyone uses that I've used in the past. The UI is not great, but it's a really good tool as well. Those two are the top external search tools on the market, I believe.
Have you ever worked with Fetcher?
You know what? I met Fetcher last year at the convention in Las Vegas, and I thought they were interesting. But when I got here, we already had Seekout, so I didn't explore it deeper.
Yeah, they have like a there's like a human element to it, where it's like they have people sourcing primarily LATAM.
Yeah, Intello did that too for a while, I believe.
Yeah,
I don't know if Intello's still around, but Intello they would advertise as a live database, like a lot, and which was really unique at the time. But really, what they were doing was they had a group of people just constantly reparsing resumes. And that's the other thing that Gem does that most people don't know is Gem, if you have a LinkedIn tied to it, will actually update profiles, which is the number one problem with applicant tracking systems. The data becomes stale very quickly, but in Gem, it doesn't if you're sourcing from LinkedIn.
And so I've heard too, Gem is primarily like you get the best results for engineers, or would you say it's across the board engineering revenue? Like where, you know, where do you get the best return on Gem? And then like, maybe you could share some stats on like what percentage of hires come from Gem versus like outbound, just LinkedIn sourcing, not through Gem, or, I mean,
so
do you do all your sourcing through Gem? Like, is that the funnel? So it's like seek out Gem for everything, or
don't use Gem for external sourcing. We use Gem for engagement. So external sourcing for us would be like LinkedIn. You know what? Duolingo is really unique because our brand is really strong. That majority of our hires come from inbound.
Really?
Yeah. Very, very interesting, right? So like you don't usually hear that with companies, but majority of our hires do come from inbound, but we do classify inbound as LinkedIn ad posts and our internal job site. So when we externally source, I would say probably highest ROI. And I can't give those stats out. I'd be in trouble for that. But highest ROI would probably be Seekout or LinkedIn, obviously, or events. You know, events have become really popular again.
Yeah. Do you primarily virtual or in person?
Our university team, I personally think is, and I'm not trying to be biased, but I think is world class, and they put on crazy events. So they do both internal or like in person and virtual. I think you have to do a combination. When you over index on one, I think you lose a large pool of people. So I think doing that, especially if you want to target different groups and A/B testing it, is the best thing to do, because ROI on events is the hardest thing to actually correlate, because you can't determine if someone went to an event, did they apply for our job? Like it's very hard to connect those two things. So
it's okay though. Like sometimes like you just know that you're putting value out into the world and that's a good thing and it's going to pay dividends. Like sometimes you have to go through those motions, right? Without even having necessarily the best data to back up the investment. Cause it's just, you have to be like, okay, it's intuitive or it's reasonable to assume that unless it's like, you feel like there's no return, right? Or it's somewhat obvious that there isn't. Like I do feel like events are a good strategy. I mean, as Secure Vision grows, I actually want to have somebody that's like head of community, and I want them to focus on like basically events, in person, remote, and building communities for like the top 10 roles that we fill for our clients. So like engineers, product, salespeople, marketing, whatever it might be, and to build communities and events and even like private Slack channels and resource centers to where like we can constantly be adding value to the top position, you know, the people in the top positions that we fill for our customers. And that way, whenever we have like a new job open for a client, we can just immediately tap into the community that we've built and been adding value to. So we're not there yet. Like at this point, it would be too much of a dilution of focus. Like we just need to focus on our core. But yeah. You know, that is something in the next couple of years that I want to roll out at Secure Vision.
Yeah. And there's two points I'll add to that. And I think that's an incredible path to go on, because I do think that's where recruiting is going. So the first piece is I think you got to look at Discord. Discord, especially for new Inge technology, is like, that is where you're going to find great talent from a community standpoint. And then I'll do two more points. I do not believe you at the beginning, you talked about shoestringing your budget in the TA world or in the HR world. And I do think at most companies that is a problem. And so when they look at events, people, when they look at businesses, want to see direct return. When you look at events, events is about building your brand or building your community, like you're talking about. You might need multiple events, multiple touch points to get someone to come to your company. But if it gets you one person who is top talent in their space because they felt connected at that event, it's the employee brand and engagement and community piece that you really are getting the value on, which is not easily correlated to the cost associated.
Right. So right. The hard part. And the other part too of that is that it could increase response rates on cold outreach, because it's not actually cold. Like, how are you going to track that?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you have a list of everybody who went and you're targeting them, but you know, beyond that, it's like you're going to see a lift across the board in the long run by making that investment.
And that's where I think Jim can help you a little bit, because you can, you know, have a landing page from Jim that'll capture those people against those events. So that could be a reach out group. You could also track click-through rates on links that you have on there. So maybe you have a link from the event and see how often people are clicking and referencing. So I do think there is technology to help you with that. But the thing that I think is actually most interesting, kind of tied to this point, is because technology is moving so rapidly in the TA space, the way that internal teams recruit and the way that candidates need to expose themselves has changed dramatically, in my opinion. Like this idea of just applying to a Netflix or a Google or an Apple, the probability of you actually talking to someone at Netflix, Apple, or Google is very, very low if you just apply, because they're using technology to highlight specific things depending on the need of the business. And so when we talk about like these technologies, if you're a candidate listening to this, just applying is not the smart way to get into your dream job. And I have a lot of conversations around this. And writing a beautiful cover letter is also not probably the smartest way to get into your dream job. It's highlighting what makes you unique. Are you a part of a diverse group of people? Great. Have that somewhere in your resume, because that keyword is going to hit your profile. Are you someone that has a very unique skill set? I've had a bunch of consulting gigs come up for Airtable because Airtable has gained so much steam, but no one highlights that they know Airtable. So like those type of things are allowing recruiters to distill or to surface candidates based off what their hiring managers are wanting very quickly. And if you're not curating your resume, so don't just apply to a million jobs because you're not going to curate your resume. Curate your resume towards the job that you want by looking at the job description and see the keywords that consistently pop up and fit that into what you're doing. That is the easiest way for you to get an interview. And people don't realize that's the only way to get an interview with these big companies. When I was at Netflix, I shouldn't say this, but maybe you'll have to cut this, but we were getting 10,000 applications a day. Like how are you going to, you know, if you just apply and it's not happening.
Right. Right. You have to be a little bit more targeted. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, it's the know-how piece. Like people just like, it seems obvious, but to people that aren't in TA or just haven't been, it's probably not. But then the other thing is it takes a little bit of effort.
Like,
but ideally it's like in your job search, it's, you know, if you're going to go spend a portion of your life somewhere, you know, we should be a little bit more critical about, you know, thinking about like putting together a target list, right? Like top 10, 20 companies and actually investing some time and not waiting till you need a job, right? Like just proactively kind of putting feelers out there, you know, doing what you just said, trying to build a few relationships, you know, engaging with people on LinkedIn, so on and so forth. I feel like that's the winning strategy. If you really want to like be as, you know, thoughtful as possible about your career progression, right?
Yeah. It's really about building a brand. A company builds their brand, but as a candidate, you need to build your brand as well. I can't tell you, and I feel for it right now, but all these people that have lost their job, how many posts I've seen on LinkedIn start with, I haven't been on here in a while, but I just got laid off. But you, so you haven't really built a brand. Now you're leveraging that to try to leverage your community to get a job. And I think you should do that. It's a good starting point, but it's interesting. It's interesting yeah. that that's the first reason why you go there instead of, like you said, enjoying it, enjoying the fruits of building a community based off of commonality, which should help you in the long run get your dream job.
Yeah. And again, I think that a lot of people know that they should be doing this.
Yeah,
you know, time. Like in 2022, it's like, come on. Okay. Maybe in like 2018. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, it's like the other issue with that too. It's like, you know, you're trying to build these relationships and then like a day later you're making an ask.
Yeah.
Like, I find that kind of like, I mean, I still try to help people. Right. But if somebody like doesn't, you know, isn't, I don't know who they are. Right. And then out of nowhere, they'll just start liking my stuff. And then they reach out making like a big ask for me to like tap into my network and ask a bunch of VPs, you know, it's like, dude, I like, I don't know. It just, it doesn't give the same vibe versus if you built a genuine relationship over the past couple of years, you know?
Yeah.
So it's in everybody's best interest to proactively do this, right? I mean,
yeah.
It takes time. I mean, and that's like the other thing with the social strategy. It's not going to give you the return in like a week, but if you hit it consistently for 6 months, that's where it's really going to be most valuable.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the last point on the event piece, and this is coming from personal experience. When I was first coming out of school, I got into retail because it was 2008, the housing crisis, no one was hiring. I hated retail, did not want to be in retail. So I went to a bunch of community like job fairs, and I was the person that would go hand my resume out, not talk to anyone. I thought, oh, going to their booth and handing my resume was, and I probably applied to like 200 places, didn't get a single response. Could not figure out
terrible.
Why.
I'm so sorry, man.
It's all good. No, this is a good story. It's good for people to know this. So didn't get a single response. And what I realized reflecting on that today is recruiters are there to find the best talent for their companies, right? And when you show up to one of these things, their purpose is to engage with you. But in order to engage with you, you need to engage with them. So if I would have done it differently, spend 5 minutes talking to your dream company recruiter because they want to talk to you. They're giving you a purpose to engage with them. And mm-hmm. if you're not doing that, you can't be disappointed that they're not talking to you, because I was in retail, no, to the outside perspective, no transferable skill set. Now I'm in a different situation. But when they see my resume, they're going to say, retail manager, that's not going to work for me, because they don't know who I am as an individual. I didn't build a brand. So talk to people when you go to them. Don't just stand there. All these people want to talk to you. They're all generally pretty nice. That's why they're in recruiting. It's the best way to make that engagement, because personal connection goes a long way.
Yeah. I mean, we're sponsoring a conference called SASTR. It's a bunch of, have you heard of that one?
I haven't.
It's pretty cool. It's a lot of startups, growth stage companies, even enterprise, primarily SaaS, but also just general tech. San Mateo, I think. So South Bay Area, Silicon Valley. There's going to be a ton of companies, man, like just a ton. It's in September. Actually, I have some free tickets. If you want to go, I can get you one.
I was going to say, should I shoot you the ask? Because we just talked about not asking for something.
No, this is,
do you have any ticket, James?
This is different. You know why it's different? Because you're giving value to the community, right? You're actually producing real value. But yeah, for sure. If you want a free ticket, it's September 13th to 15th. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be a bunch of great speakers from leading category leading tech companies. It's going to be awesome. I had a point though. The point is that we're implementing like a similar strategy for like engaging with people. It's like we're reaching out to all of this like speaker companies and all of the sponsor companies now, like sending them emails, like introducing ourselves, like putting our name out there. We also put together a trip. Like if you stop by our booth and do a discovery call, you could win a free trip to Paris, all inclusive. We're going to pay for everything, right? It's like 5 G's in value, a little bit more probably. So,
yeah,
you know, we're doing different things to drive engagement, but you know, and then we had an ops specialist go through my LinkedIn and like everybody's, follow everybody's profile that's a sponsor or a speaker and hit that little bell in the top right corner. So we see all their posts. And then I'm just constantly like, you know, liking and engaging with their content. So by the time I go to this thing, hopefully everybody's going to is going to recognize me. Right. So, I mean, you can leverage that and candidate. I mean, this is just like good marketing for yourself as a candidate for a company. this is the way to do it, opposed to just showing up cold too. It's like try to build some of those relationships proactively.
Yeah. I make it a point of, I get a lot of companies reaching out to me, telling me like they want me to demo their technology. And I'm blessed to work for companies that have great brands, right? Like that's just, it's helped me build my brand. But what I do is I always respond, and most people won't always respond. And I'm sure you've had this where you reach out, you might reach out multiple times and they don't. And to your point, I think what that does is creates like, it's a social investment. I look at it as a piggy bank. Every time I respond, it's a positive investment into this piggy bank. And now when I go to these different conferences, for good or for bad, people come up to me and like actually talk to me at these conferences. And I think it's because I was one of the 100 people that they reached out to, but I actually engaged with them and took a call with them, even if it was to help with their pitch. So I do believe that your strategy in any capacity is going to be valuable for your brand. It's time invested. Time is the most valuable thing you have. Invest right. your time where you want to invest it, and you'll see returns, not maybe immediately, but definitely in the future.
Yeah, for sure. It makes a lot of sense. So I hope everybody tuning in takes it to heart. And look, this has been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed this. We're coming up on time here, and I don't want us to be like going to another topic and then be rushed for the last couple of minutes. So I think it's a good time to hit pause. Just to be clear, again, this was really valuable. So if you ever want to come back on, we got a spot for you if you want to ever do a round two with us.
I'd love to. I didn't know where we were going to go. We went super philosophical, but I appreciate the invite. It was a good conversation.
Yeah, for sure. And Jared, if people want to connect with you, where can they find you online?
The best place to find me right now would probably be LinkedIn. Just Jared Long, Duolingo. I do have an open job. You know, if someone wants to come join me on my team, senior rec ops manager, come join me. I promise you'll have a good time building for a really cool company.
Nice. So when we publish this and go live, I will, I'll do like a LinkedIn post about this combo. And in that post too, I can reference any open jobs you have.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. James, thanks for inviting me. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it as well. So thanks for joining us. And for everybody else tuning in, thanks as well. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to the Breakthrough Hiring Show. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode and gained a lot of valuable insights to help guide your talent strategy. I also want to say thank you to my team at Secure Vision for making the show possible. Secure Vision is the number one embedded recruitment provider, and we are a 3-time category leader on G2. Secure Vision partners with over 150 companies to provide on-demand recruiters who specialize in either tech, revenue, or G&A. For more information, you can visit securevision.io. For more content, you can follow me on LinkedIn at James Mackey or on Twitter at James Mackey DMV. We've dropped links in the description. If you want to be on our show or have any topics you'd like for us to cover, reach out at breakthroughhiring.io. We really appreciate your support with reviews on Apple Podcasts. And lastly, make sure to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday for a new episode. See you next time.